Good evening, everyone. This is Victoria with the Ask Spirit Now show, and happy holidays to everyone. This is the last Tuesday before Christmas, so I'm excited to be with each and every one of you. I have an exciting guest tonight, and before I introduce her, I want to tell you that this, about 40 minutes ago, we entered into the winter solstice, which means standing still sun, and it's symbolizing the point of greatest darkness, followed by the return of light. And what that really means is, y'all, it's time to let go of everything that's holding us back, all of us. And our, you know, to each of us to fulfill our purpose to love more, to live more, and to be in the present. And that means letting go of old patterns, guilt, people who aren't in our lives anymore. Doesn't mean we can't love them and send them light, but it's time to live now. And so I'm excited because for that, I want to introduce Sally Marks, who is the author of several self-improvement books. And the one we're going to talk about tonight is called Erase Negativity. And it's a practical guide on how to reduce negativity and embrace happiness. So, Sally, how are you this evening? Welcome to the Ask Spirit Now show.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, and I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, you're out in Arizona, right?
That's right.
Now, do y'all have any kind of weather out there other than sun?
You know, it's a little bit overcast and rainy today, or sprinkly, I should say, but, yeah. You know, we don't get it that much, so it's not a big deal, not like what some of the folks are suffering with right now.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, it's good to have you, and I want you to tell us a little bit about Erase Negativity and how in the world you got started and what created you or helped you to create this incredible book. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, it's funny because I love reading self-improvement books, and I have for many, many years. And a lot of my friends used to always say, Sally, you should write a self-help book. And I'd say, no, that is not what I want to do at all. And I was writing comedy and screenplays and just about anything else. But what kind of happened, and why I know I was on the right track, as I was talking to my friend and co-author, Jacqueline, and we got on the topic of different self-help books that we had both read that had really helped us and helped turn things around. And the conversation shifted to, what about those folks that have had so many bad things happen or so much negativity in their life that they just can't embrace a positive message? And at that moment, as we were talking, the word erase negativity kind of hung in the air, and we both got goosebumps, and we realized that there wasn't a book like that we knew of and that we needed to write it. And so it really was like a calling, our desire to really help people who might not be able to embrace a positive message because they have so much negativity that they need to clean up first. So we feel like it was a calling. It was not something I was planning on doing, and it was definitely not anything that Jackie was ever thinking of doing, but we felt we needed to, and we did, and we're both very pleased now that we have.
Well, I am so excited. It's very interesting because it sounds like, based on what you've mentioned, that this was what I call channeled in. It's like divinely led in that you were given this opportunity to write this book because, you know, the name itself is so very powerful. And I want to share something because, Sally, so many people that I talk to, you know, the law of attraction says just be positive, feel it. But, you know, when you've got all this stuff sitting there, and that's what I want to kind of move into, you know, you can't just say, oh, my goodness, I feel great today, because you don't. And you can fake yourself, but that's not what the real true feeling. I'm a Rohan doctor, and you don't fake feelings. I mean, you have to feel them. You have to feel them. So what are some of the steps that people, let's just say that someone were going to, you know, was going to read your book and they wanted to know, well, what could I do if I'm completely in misery or I'm stuck and I don't know where to go? What would you say in this book that would give them their first baby step?
Okay, that's great. The first chapter, we go into some very easy steps that I think almost anyone could do, if at least they have a desire to try. But the first thing is you have to be aware that you're negative. Now, from based on what you just mentioned, it sounds like that person already knows they're unhappy, they have a lot of negativity. But there are a lot of unhappy people with a lot of negativity that they don't even think or know that they are negative. They think they're just being honest or practical. And so what I would say to them is, if how you're acting and what you're thinking and saying and feeling and doing is not bringing you any happiness, then there's got to be a lot of negativity in there. So the first step is just being aware that there is an issue. And a lot of people, it's a lot worse than they think. And so we just ask, you know, maybe for 15 minutes to just be mindful of what they're thinking about. And, you know, and then try to determine, is it positive, is it negative? And we've become so inundated with negativity that a lot of us don't even realize just how much negativity is floating around in our brain, in our thoughts, which then goes into our speech and our actions. And so then we ask them, once you have, you know, recognized that there is a lot of negativity swirling around in there, and that is to erase and replace. So something that I use myself, because, you know, I ate too much at Thanksgiving and whatever, and I think a lot of women are kind of down on themselves thinking we're, you know, too fat. But if you keep thinking, I'm too fat, it doesn't really help the situation, you know, to be saying these negative things. And so I say things like, I love how I feel when I make healthy choices. Mm-hmm. That is not a lie. That is the truth, it's a positive. And even though you might, in the beginning, not make those healthy choices, if you keep saying it over and over, your brain, it does start to seep in there, and pretty soon you are. But the thing is if you don't switch or try to clean up those negative thoughts, they're just going to pile on more and more and more until the person really becomes more and more unhappy. So I call that the simple, you know, and it sounds simple, but of course putting into practice takes time and habit, and but definitely that erase and replace. And then the third one that we talk about in the first chapter, and a lot of people give me static for this, they're very reluctant to do it, but then they've written me back and say that once they do, they have seen a change, and that is to smile, particularly when they don't want to. And mm-hmm. I know for myself, I'll go, and maybe something will have annoyed me. I go in the bathroom, and I look, and for one full minute, I'll look in the mirror and smile. Mm-hmm. Well, the very irony of it usually makes me laugh because, you know, I'm not in the mood to do it, and so pretty soon I laugh, and then, of course, the spell is broken. But, a lot of times people, they might even be feeling neutral or even maybe even a little happy, but because they're not smiling, they look sterner than they realize, and people react to that. So I had some fellow all the way from Australia email me after he read something on my blog, and he went shopping, and he said it was just amazing the difference that he felt when he purposely, you know, started smiling more, and people were approaching him, they were being nicer to him. And so these, again, this isn't rocket science. These are just little baby steps that people can make. But then as they keep practicing it over and over, and then, of course, there's more suggestions, you know, throughout the book, people will see a change. They definitely will.
Well, I can vouch for that myself. And by the way, I want to remind everyone to call in, because you can talk to both Sally and I, and we'll give you a quick little, you know, if you want to discuss something or if you have a question that you have about it. What's so fascinating, Sally, is that we do that around the house. When we look at the food that we eat, we laugh about it, but we always, it's sort of like the old Indian situation where you bless your food. Because the truth is, when you are positive, and I have to tell you a real quick little story. When I was going through my divorce many years ago, it was a very difficult time. And I knew the power of the thought. I knew that if I chose to be negative, it would remain negative. And so I would get outside, and I live out in the country, and I would get out there, and I would just scream and holler and rant and rave, and it would all be very positive, but I would be upset while I was doing it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, okay. I would not, my feeling would be upset, but the words would be very positive. And within a very short time, I wasn't even through the gate, and I was, just like you were looking at the mirror, I was laughing. I was like, oh my goodness, this is just one moment in time. You know, 6 months from now, this will be over. And so I understand what you're talking about, because if we choose, and you know what is interesting? I want to go back to something that you said, Sally. If you don't have the awareness level to know that you're negative, it's very hard. It's like any kind of a change. You have to be aware that you want to change, and then you have to have the desire to change. I mean, that sounds like... but it sounds like your book might help somebody, even if they don't even know that they're negative. And I believe that we all tend to be negative at one point. I mean, we exist on this planet Earth. But I love the book, because the name of the book, because it's like, oh, maybe I can erase that. You know, maybe it is something that I can do without going through years of therapy. And of course, the years of therapy doesn't change the negativity anyway. At least, you know, it doesn't have to. Sometimes I'm sure it could. So now, you know, what I'm very interested in is that you also are an award-winning journalist from Arizona State University, and you have published numerous articles and stories. And this is amazing to me how you got into this aspect. You have your own public relations company. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit of what you do with that, because there might be people also that are interested in that.
Well, public relations, basically, well, first of all, journalism, which is where I started, is basically writing stories and learning how to write correctly, and even things like interviewing people or whatever. And there's a certain style that goes into that. And when I was in school, I covered a murder, and I knew then that I really didn't want to pursue journalism, but public relations, whereas regular journalism very often centers on negative things, public relations tries to promote happier news. And so I thought, this is a good fit for me. I'm much happier promoting, you know, happy. People tease and say public relations people are dishonest, and that's not true. At least it's not true of me. There is two ways, at least, for everything to look at, and I choose to find something that is of value in finding, right. You know, so anyway, I went into that, and what I do is I try to help small companies get free publicity through articles or get them on TV or, you know, or even human interest stories, because we're very interested in people, and a lot of people do a lot of good work. And they're kind of shy about getting that out there. And so I just try to get that out and show them, you know, what somebody's done right. with some company that might be helping the homeless. And then the thing is, it also motivates other people. So PR is just basically kind of blowing the horn of companies and organizations and helping get the word out in a positive, newsy way as opposed to advertising. Yeah. And then the self-help kind of just, I think it's like an extension of that. It's just kind of how my brain wants to work. You know, problem, let's solve it. You know, make something not so good, let's make it good. That's just how I, so it shouldn't have been that big of a shift, really. But for me, it was, because I really wanted to write comedy.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, how wonderful, though, to, you know, and I would imagine the comedy, you know, like you mentioned earlier, erasing negativity, when you get more into that joyous spot, it can't help but shift the way that you're feeling about something. I also wanted to share something with you. A friend of mine who's very, very trained in the mind and understanding how the joy can bring more positive living, obviously. I mean, that, you know, brings the light into life. And he did a sort of an exercise for 3 days just to test how many negative thoughts that he had, as positive a person as he is. And to the average person, Sally, he would be very positive. He's got, you know, doctorates in energy work, okay? And he was quite surprised at the negative thoughts that still came into his mind after all the training that he had had. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, what happens when you've gotten this. Let's just say you go to the mirror and you're starting to feel good and you go on about your life, and then something pops in and it's like, oh, there goes again. So what would you recommend from the book on that type of situation? You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I think it's almost like you have to make a conscious switch. You know, like there's a dark switch and a light switch, and just think, oh, not going to go there. Sometimes mm-hmm. I literally do have to stop, and it's different for each person. Whatever works, somebody might, you know, tap their wrist. Someone else, you know, might do someone else. For me, I actually say out loud, not going to go there, or oops, you know, and make a conscious decision to go ahead and reframe my thought into something more positive, and or what lesson did I learn from this? You know, like I, mm-hmm. you know, maybe did something, I forgot to write a check to pay a bill. You know, not that I didn't have the money, but I just, you know, forgot, put it on a desk and let it go. And I could beat myself up for this, or I can think, you know, I'm going to be more organized so this doesn't happen in the future. I'm going to take this opportunity to clean off that desk so there isn't a pile of papers, you know. So, again, yeah. It's not deceptive. I mean, it's just trying to think, okay, well, what can I do to make yeah. it so this doesn't happen?
Oh, yeah.
Again, so you're switching from a negative and beating yourself up or verbally thinking bad thoughts about someone else, whatever is aggravating you or me, into something positive.
Right. I have to tell you that when I've gone through a lot of energy work myself, and when I have a beautiful energy that goes across me, it's almost like an equal cross. It's made out of my daughter describes it as beautiful gold. And when I have a positive thought and I'm feeling in joy, the natural way that we're really supposed to feel on this earth, that light shines. But boy, I tell you, Sally, when that, and all for all the listeners, and y'all need to call in now. You got a chance to talk to Sally, and you can get a reading tonight, and you also read auras too, don't you?
Don't
you read auras?
But one of the ladies that I interviewed does.
Does she? Oh, I'd love to look. Yeah, that's so much fun. But I wanted just to share this because I noticed when I was on my walk, Spirit gave me this message and said, you have been given the light. Each of you in this world have been given the light. It's up to you to keep it shining. And when I go into anything not really positive and really from the heart and really enjoy, that light starts to dim. And even my daughter will come up and say, you're not that light within you is not as strong today, Mom. Something's going on. Wow. It's phenomenal. And and sometimes I'll even forget I have the light, and then I know I'm gone. I mean, it's like, it's like, oh boy, light took over there. Life took charge on that one instead of, you know, Spirit. So this is just very fascinating. Now, tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are on the law of attraction and how that fits in with Erase Negativity, your book. And by the way, you can get that on Amazon.com, right?
Yeah, and I've got my website up now, too, so also through, which just is a direct link to Amazon, and that's just erasenegativity.com.
Oh, good. Well, good then. Okay. Hopefully everybody can at least get it for the new year. I don't know if you can get it by Christmas, but you certainly could get it for the new year. What a great way to begin the new year, you know, to get rid of that negativity.
Yeah, that's true. I'm hoping a bunch of people will.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So anyway, getting back to the law of attraction, how does this fit in? Because, you know, I think everybody's inundated with the law of attraction, you know, oh my goodness, what does this mean? I don't know. It doesn't work for me. Some people will tell me, oh, and I'll say yes, but the law is the law. It's going to work anyway. And whether you have like attracts like, you either have good like or you have bad like. So tell me how this fits in with your book.
You know, it's interesting because in that conversation I was telling you when Jackie and I were talking about different self-help books, we were talking about specifically the law of attraction and The Secret, although we've read other books about the law of attraction too. And although I absolutely believe in that, the law of attraction, we felt that some folks were blocked with their negativity to where they couldn't even take the first step to attract positive. Because if, you know, like you said, if you're just throwing out negative, and even the most spiritual people are still throwing out an awful lot of negative, more than they would suspect, you know, that we knew that people needed to get a hold of that a little bit and start cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it fits in really well. We both really, we both practice that ourselves, Jackie and I. We've read a lot of the books, but we thought that Erase Negativity was kind of like a read this first book, kind of a primer for folks that maybe need a little help before they can start thinking positively to clean, right, and go ahead and clean it up. So I think it's a very good complement to that, especially for folks who really have a lot of negativity to clean up, you know, just to be aware. Because whatever you throw out there, you are going to attract it back.
Well, there's no doubt. It's no doubt. And what I love to talk about, Sally, with this issue of the negativity versus the positive, is that when you have this powerful thought, that's a very positive thought, let's just say, you know, I'm doing incredibly well in my life. And yet, you know, I do past life regressions and I work with people, you know, in Rohan therapy, which is, they would need to read your book first, I can tell you, because Rohan therapy is very in-depth. You have to take a huge amount of responsibility about your own actions and what you have done and what you have thought through eons of life. So, you know, it's for people who have had a lot of spiritual work. But it is life, it changes lives. But what's so interesting is that when you're sitting there thinking a positive thought, you or I, anybody, and yet you have all of this stuff underneath in the unconscious, as some people call it, or things below the surface that's saying the opposite of what you're saying out loud, there's that, you know, that push, that fight. So it's almost like you feel like you're fighting yourself. And I think, I'm wondering if you ever discussed that in your book about that, because, you know, when you're just positive all the time, but yet you never address the negativity, then how do you ever let go of it? And I think, I mean, how do y'all look at that in your book, Erase Negativity? Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. I think, yeah, I might use the analogy of covering up a pimple with a lot of makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, it's,
yeah,
like, you know, sure, it looks okay on the outside, but underneath, you know, you have, you know, this infection or this pimple that's not getting any better. And
yeah,
so
actually, it's getting worse, you know.
That's true. And so, yeah, while I think there are some times when, like, a little fake smile and then to fake it till you can make it can have some credence, I think that can go to a certain degree. But basically, yes, you have to address the underlying cause of your negativity. I don't know that you need to psychoanalyze it, but you at least have to notice the behavior and the habit, because I think most of it is habit rather than anything else. Because certainly bad things happen to all people. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're gorgeous. There is just lots of things in life that are going to be disappointments and unhappiness. And it's not so much the things that happen to us, but how we choose to react to the things that happen to us. And so definitely addressing at least the, you know, the, like I said, the thoughts, the speech, and the actions. And then before you know it, things do turn around. And this is a favorite quote that I look at and read almost every day, and it's by Confucius. And he really summed it up. It's, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very good one. I like that. That's very good. And we are in control of our lives. I know that spirit is there with us, but we make our choices. And it's fascinating. Now, one of the things that I believe I was reading about this is some of the biographies that you have in there. Can you share one of those biographies of short, you know, something about one of the experiences of how someone faced dramatic challenges but did not lose hope. I mean, is there something that you can share about one of those stories to help somebody out there that may be going through something? It's Christmas, and you know what I want to share with you too, Sally, while you're thinking about what you want to share there, is that I noticed this Christmas, and I live in the small area of North Georgia Mountains, but it was just a general feel of the people that I've connected with, that people are a little bit more real this Christmas, and it isn't that, you know, that, I want to say, facade where people get so high and then right after Christmas they go so low. And I felt more realness this Christmas, and I thought maybe it had to do with me. I feel more real, but it's very interesting because it is a very, it's a time of joy, but it doesn't have to be a fake joy. It can be a very real feeling of, okay, well, I don't feel as happy as I would have been another time, but let's find something in my life that I can be happy for. Oh my goodness, a home to live in is enough to be happy for these days. And that can help erase negativity. Just, oh my goodness, look what I do have. And I'm sure you get into that in your book some, but share something with us about a specific person if you can, without mentioning their name unless they want you to.
Well, one of the chapters, and really I like all of them, to be honest with you. The people's stories, I think, are phenomenal. But one was David, an alcoholic, and it starts with he was in a terrible rage. He and his wife had been separated, and he came back. They were reconciling. And when he went on the computer, he saw emails that she had written to another man. And, of course, he had been dating someone else, too, but he drank. I forget how much, the exact amount, but I mentioned it in the book. And he just went into a rage where he started destroying everything. He couldn't even think straight. It was just terrible. And the police were called, and he was, like, at his low. They had to haul him off to jail. And he really felt like committing suicide. And kind of his transformation as he had to rebuild from the ground up, and his one girlfriend who he'd been dating had been, you know, very nice and enlightened type of person, but he just couldn't hear it. He just thought she was full of baloney. But little by little from AA, because, you know, of course, that was one of the things to help him get through, was Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
He was at a meeting, and they all had to say something they were grateful for. And he said there was one fellow in there that had been homeless for a long time, and he just very brightly said he was grateful that he had a clean pair of socks in his drawer. And David was thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, something so basic. And he wasn't being facetious. This guy had one pair of socks on, but he had an extra clean pair. And to him, this was a wonderful thing that he had not had for a long time. And that really kind of helped make a shift for David to realize what he did have in his life that he could be grateful for. And it kind of started him in a good direction in a lot of ways. And then he got involved in a church and community, you know, acting, and found creative outlets. And then he, you know, his whole life turned around and kind of talks about that. But I love that whole story of the clean pair of socks, because really how many of us, and probably nobody listening to the show because they've at least got a computer, we probably all have a pair of clean socks in a drawer someplace, and we don't think twice about it. But if we didn't, you know, so that was one story that I liked. I mean, there's stories in all of them. That one just came to mind for some reason.
Well, you know, it is a time of gratitude, and I do feel that. And I have not read your book, but I'm excited about going and getting it online. But you know what I'm interested in is that, like, the other day, my daughter and I went and bought some very, very soft sheets. They're kind of those plush sheets, you know, that you feel like you're melting when you're in them. And I laid in them, and I said to my daughter, I said, do you realize that and we got them for a great price. Everything was just incredible with it. And I said, do you realize how blessed we are? And because we had had, maybe a couple of hours in there that had been a little difficult, messy rooms, some things like that. And we got a little negative there, okay? Got a little negative. And that's when we went out, just to share one of the stories that probably something that might be these types in the book. We went out, left the house, and we went to the movies, something funny. And we went out and bought these sheets and really got into a more positive state of mind, state of happiness. And for us, we needed to leave the house because that's where the energy had been lifted, just to lift and change the energy. And then we had to come back in. And I don't know if you get into this in your book or not, Sally, but I have noticed that when there has been a negativity in an area, that helping either saging it or cleaning it will help also to release that energy from the room where the energy was not as positive. Are you familiar with that type of energy cleaning?
Yes, as a matter of fact, one of the chapters in the book, and this was another reason I decided to write the book, it was I talked to a feng shui expert, and one chapter has her story in there, and it does talk about, and she doesn't go into too much about it, but how it is important to clean out energies in a room and also just even your own personal energy as well to get that off. But, like whether it's clutter or negative energy from emotions or even other people's things, that have been around. And so she's a big advocate, actually, of getting rid of a lot of things unless you love them or use them.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, if you really feel that attached, take a picture and put it in an album, but don't keep it around.
Then
I thought, oh, how many of us do that? Well, this was so-and-so's, and maybe you didn't even like old so-and-so, but you're stuck with their stuff.
Well, that's so true because, under psychometry, which is the feeling, the energies of energy, if there's something in my house, clothes, furniture, whatever, and if I feel something negative when I go by it, if it doesn't feel right and I cleanse it off, with whatever I do, the procedures that I use, and it still feels negative, I give it away. And clothes like that, and my mother had, I know this will ring true for a lot of people that are listening, and y'all need to call in if you want to talk or just discuss or if you have your own experience with this type of negativity and how you have transformed it as well. We would love to hear it. It was interesting because she has a lot of old antique-y kind of stuff, and she was sitting there having difficulty, Sally, with finances. And so I looked at her and I said, you're in a 3-bedroom apartment now, and this comes from an antebellum home in Mississippi 100 million years ago. And I said, you're sitting here in all this negativity and you've got, thousands of dollars. Why don't you sell this? Oh, but it's my stuff, And yet she was drowning in negativity because of the lack of money, which, can cause a lot of upset with people. Do you know that she sold a lot of it and she continues to sell things because she knows I don't want it. I don't want all that energy from all that stuff that 100 million people had. And all I have is bad memories from it. Even if I had good memories, it's not what I want. So she has started selling things, and she's much happier for it now because she became independent, became more positive. Because she just, she was living in a 3-bedroom apartment and she had enough stuff, Sally, for, antebellum home, for heaven's sake, That's being a little over exaggerated, but that's where she had moved from. So it was fascinating. So I totally understand what you're talking about by getting rid of stuff. And it's not getting rid of stuff, you're saving it. Now, I want to ask you about something. When I give something away, just because I don't like it, I send light with it, and I put light on it, and I bless it for the next person because it may be the most wonderful gift that they have ever received, whatever it may be. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, when you like,
I haven't done that, but I think that's a wonderful idea.
Well, you know, we went and started cleaning things out. I've been sitting out on the deck for almost a month. It was an easel and a beautiful little desk and a little chair and a couple of those little toys that my daughter used to have. Beautiful condition, but she says, oh, I don't like them anymore. And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of negativity with that on you. They brought you joy at the time. Let's bless it and take it down to the thrift store. And let's give it to some child. Someone may see that and get the best Christmas gift they've ever gotten. And it made her so happy because, you know, she was like, oh, well, let's just throw it away. And I'm like, no, this is a great gift. And I think we can all do that. And it helps to bring new life to whatever we don't want, but yet somebody else may want it. So, well, tell us a little bit on some other stories. I just love these stories. I love real life stories. I think it's just wonderful. Or anything else you want to share about the book?
What else? Yeah. I do think the stories are kind of what makes the book. And, mm-hmm. and because I know for myself as a child, I always have enjoyed other people's stories. That, unlike, I think, some people may not always like listening to my stories, but as a young kid, and even today, I'm fascinated by that and the lessons that can be learned that way. And another one, because you talked about the auras, was the last chapter of the book, and this is Cynthia Sue Larson, and she has her own books, and she does aura readings. And I had read one of her books about auras, because I'm interested in that. And I read that she was from Berkeley, California. So I got a hold of her to order the book for myself, because I found it in the library. And then I was going to on a trip to San Francisco, and I said, oh, by the way, I would love to interview you for the book. And it just so happened during some of the time I was going to be there, she was going to be coming into the city. And just being in the presence of this woman, I've only met a few people like this in my life whose energy and spiritual awareness is so high that I felt like I was bumped up several levels just being in her presence. It was just a totally awesome person. But anyway, when her story that she told me is when she was a little thing, and she could see auras around everything, and there is a word for that. I forgot what it was. When anybody had angry, even angry thoughts, it would be like lightning in the house for her. She would see these jagged things of light, and she remembered what it had been like in her life prior to incarnating into this life, and she didn't want to be on Earth anymore. She was 5 years old and wanted to commit suicide and wanted to return, you know, to the spirit realm. And I thought, holy moly. I mean, 5 years old, most kids, you know, are thinking about Sesame Street. And she was concerned as to whether or not she even wanted to live her life. Wow. And so she said she didn't know they were light beings at the time. She didn't know what to call them, but they said you can either live your life fast, or you could live your life slow. And fast meaning, you know, that she could be successful in killing herself, or she could go ahead and help other people. But they said, if you do choose to, because she's in choice, to stay, you know, how many people she could help, and if she chose not to, how unhappy her parents and her sister would be. Mm. And, of course, you know, most of the rest of her life, and, of course, she's still around. She has helped a tremendous amount of people, but I was thinking, wow, at 5 years old to have, you know, contemplated life and death like that. But her story is actually very, very encouraging and empowering. But it was, even a lot of people that have known her for many years didn't know this. And so I really like that, just kind of her whole evolution, because how many of us in our lives have been so down for whatever reason, but we just have no idea how we can turn things around and help so many others. And I tell you, just really, just talking to her, even on the phone, and for sure when I had the privilege to be able to sit and have a cup of coffee with her, I mean, I was like on a high for a day and a half.
That's so wonderful. And by the way, while you were talking, I wanted to share something with you. I see a beautiful gold energy around you, and you have pink in your heart, and you have green coming in, and as well, you have a beautiful turquoise around your shoulders. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, wow.
Because I do see auras, and as you were talking, the colors were shifting as they always do. But there were some beautiful, you know, you have a very radiant gold energy. You have a lot of Christ energy around you. So I just wanted to share that with you. Pythagoras and Archangel Raphael is very strong in your energy. So I wanted to share that with you. Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because when I do a lot of etheric art, and when people do have thoughts, it will come in and change their aura. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Your aura changes. And when my little girl is 11, Sally, and she can read auras, and she can, if I have a thought, that is not a positive thought, she'll come in and say, your aura is red right now. You've got an angry thought, Mom. You need to get rid of it. It's amazing. I mean, you can't get it by with anything, and it's a blessing because she... And as soon as I handle the thought, which, you know, takes a little effort to think, well, where did that come from? You know, let me get a handle on that. And when I get the understanding of it, then all of a sudden she'll say, oh, you're pink again, or you're green again, or you're violet again. And I just love that. I think it's so incredible. And I want to bring something up about your book with this, is because I want people to realize that when you have negativity in your life, it does affect your aura. It affects your etheric field. It affects all of the aspects of your life, your mental, emotional bodies, parts of our body, you know, selves, Sally. And that's why it's so important to get rid of the negativity. Do you have any other stories you can share with us, or anything that you would like to have of how you personally, you know, you mentioned the mirror, but do you have children, Sally?
Yeah, I have two grown daughters
and two
little granddaughters.
How do you work with them with erasing negativity? Like if they get a little, you know how kids get and they get all upset and stuff. How do you work with them on that? Some practical advice for our listeners.
Well, I think I'm like anyone else because the grandkids, I do see them on a regular basis, but not every day. And I've got more patience now as I'm older than I did when they were little. But the little three-year-old is very willful. She has a very strong personality. And I have a blog, you know, which hopefully your listeners can take a look at sometimes too. It's
negativity.blogspot.com.
But in it, one time I wrote a little story called Laser Beams of Love. And we were on the bed watching Baby Einstein or something, and she was a little bit tired. And then the other, her little sister, who at the time I think was maybe one, was on the bed too. And I looked at her, and like coming from my heart, I just had this strong feeling of love, and I shot it out like a beam. And at that exact moment that I did that, she reached over and put her little hand in mine. And I thought, wow. She can, you know, whether she can see it like your daughter can, I don't know, but she could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if I could just be more aware more often of throwing out these, emitting these positive things, that's going to have a lot more effect than the ego, which is trying to maybe get the kid to behave or whatever agenda they have. And I wish... Although I think I was a good mom, I think that I wish I would have known how to use energy more for things like that. And it doesn't even have to be for children. I know one time I love to go to the movies, and I'm short.
Oh, we do too. We love them. We love that too.
I'm not even 5'2". So I go to the movie. I get there plenty early, and I'm in the middle, and most of the theater's empty, and it never fails. It seems like there's always somebody that sits right in front of me, and they're always a good foot taller than I am. And, you know, in my old days, I do just move, but the movie had started, and I thought, I'm not going to get angry. I'm sure they didn't do this on purpose. I thought, I am just going to send laser beams of love to these two people that sat in front of me. And, you know, they instantly slumped down in their seats.
Wow.
And I had
yes.
a great view. And I yes. thought, why don't I just do, instead of seething like, oh, why does this always happen? And, you know, out of the whole theater, why do they got to sit right there? And so when I try to do that every day, at least something, you know, if I see someone's kind of having a bad day, you know, maybe they're a little cranky at the post office or whatever, and I thought they don't need to know what I'm thinking or feeling, and I just try to imagine, you know, coming out of my heart like some beams of love to help settle things down. And so that I don't mention in the book per se, but that's definitely a tip that I've learned that I use and has helped quite a bit.
Well, I do that a lot, too. I don't discuss things in the courtroom, Sally, when I go in court as an attorney, but I always send light in there because I want to have some peace in there. And it's not legal to do that, you know, in the sense of you don't talk about light in a courtroom. But anywhere, anybody that's listening tonight, you can be your own light worker for the world, because no matter what you do, no matter where you go, and even if you're a parent and you don't work or you, you know, whatever, just let your light precede you before you even get into the place where you're going. Or just like you had mentioned, Sally, you know, putting, you know, someone moving that. And I'm like that, too. And I have to share something about that with I don't like people cracking gum, you know, like in the movies when somebody's really cracking gum a lot, because I can't hear. And so I used to get very, very negative about, like, oh, gosh, I know I'm attracting it because it's my own thoughts that are attracting this. And so I will go send light to them. And, you know, I'm not saying every time, but occasionally it will stop. So, you know, it depends on how much light I send, probably. But, I want to take Michael from Angel Michael from Carmel, California is online, too. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I have your angel I'm looking at right now. Michael is Sally. I don't know if you know Michael, but he's very creative, and he sends out angels, and he has beautiful, beautiful angels, and I love them. So, well, I thank you very much for that, Michael. Did you have a question for Sally?
I don't know what to ask.
Oh, just, okay.
just
did you have a comment? A comment, maybe?
I think I've turned a corner, that's all, in my endeavors, in my job, and everything else.
So you, everything that you were concerned about has now turned the corner, and it's going well, isn't it?
Well, I just think it's going better. I just don't have a negative thought about it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, you know, without getting right into all the cards right now with you, you are so powerful and so positive, Michael, that you have turned your own corner. And I, you know how the astrological energies and all that can shift too, but I feel that you have so much talent that you just, I feel in your heart, along with your son, that you just made the decision it's going to go right. And you know what? Spirit just says, the universe, the energy just says, fine, let Michael. Michael wants it fine, then Michael gets it fine. And that's, you know, that's what I see. It's like, okay, fine. He says it's good. Okay, good. It's good. And that's what I feel for you. I mean, you just are so, so positive and so beautiful in what you do. So he has great gifts, Sally, and all those listening. Beautiful, beautiful angels that he sends, and great healing energy as well. So
I send them randomly.
We appreciate
too, sometimes.
Like, do you? Well, that's
on the phone that's a service advisor, and I say, oh, by the way, I need to send you something.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the angel or the healing? Well, both. They're both the same,
both.
I guess.
If,
yeah.
Whatever
I was going to say. Yeah, because I see my angel every day, of course, in the house, but I also, and I have a guest coming, and I'm going to be putting it on their bed when they come in. They're spending a couple of days here, and I'm going to put the angel with a piece of candy on their bed, you know, like you do when you go to these hotels.
All right.
Except theirs is going to be an angel from Michael.
Well, so. At the end of the program, why don't you email me your guest's address, and I will send her one.
Okay. Oh, how awesome. That is right. Well, I will definitely do that. I don't, can you, you don't want to give out your, can you give them your email address? Is that okay, Sally?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's okay. Comic Sal, ComicSall at yahoo.com.
Okay, yeah. I'll email you, then you can email me your address, and I'll send you.
Yeah, and if you didn't get that, just email me, or I'll email you, Michael, and I'll get it for you. So
okay,
so that's
again,
awesome.
Merry Christmas.
Well,
happy
I thank
to
you.
Both.
Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for calling in. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and I want to remind everybody we're kind of coming up toward the end of the show now. Sally, I want to find out. Let's see. I know they can go to Amazon.com. And tell us now your new website so that they can go there and order the book. Can you give out your website?
Sure. It's going to change some colors in there, but it is functional, and it's erasenegativity.com.
Good. All right. So there are two places then that they can come and get that book, Erase Negativity, by Sally. And tell me the other offer, Sally Marks and Jacqueline. I'm not able
Howard.
To see you. Howard, good. Okay, great. And now, is there any other, you know, aspect of negativity about this erasing? When you talk about erasing, do you believe, Sally, that when somebody says that something is gone, because when you think of erasing, you think of it being gone forever. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, if only that were true. I think it's a great analogy, but mm-hmm. no, of course, it's what you want to do is try to clean it out, but it kind of makes me think of, oh, I don't know, what is that, those paper you used to draw and you'd lift the thing and it would go away.
I know what you're talking about.
Basically, what you're going to do is become aware of the problem and then and try to avoid, you know, not avoid, but, you know, it's going to probably crop up again, but I think it's like any bad habit, you know, with time, as you keep replacing it with a good habit, you're going to find that it's easier and easier to lose that from your life. But no, I don't think anything is ever really gone. But, you know, if we change our state of mind and our habits, then we're going to make a big impact. But no.
Well, yes, you're right.
You know,
I mean, and you know what? The understanding is the key here, to understand it, because otherwise you're not aware of it.
Yeah, you know, I have a story about that, too, with my father, who's long since passed away, but he was a very funny guy. He had a sense of humor. But a lot of times it was mean-spirited. He didn't realize a lot of put-downs were very common for, I think, his generation. And one day I just told him, I said, Dad, your humor is so mean-spirited. And he had no idea. No, I mean, at the time I told him this, he was a senior, and he had no idea. I can't say that it changed overnight, but he at least became more thoughtful about it, and I could see that it was something that, of all the time people said, oh, don't tell those jokes or don't do this or do that, no one had ever, with compassion, told him that it was mean-spirited. So I think it's not so much that we erase negativity as we become aware of it and then build a new habit.
I totally agree with you, and that is what a great way to begin a new 2011, everyone, to be aware of what our thoughts are, how we're feeling about issues in our life, and shifting them, because those very thoughts, very feelings, and that's what Sally's book is about, getting to the very basic, the simplicity of it, can turn your life around. If you don't have a job and you're sitting there all day long in these negative feelings saying, I don't have a job, erase that thought and say, I already have a job. And you know what I suggest is in any part of our lives, act as if it's already happened. And that is the most fun thing to do. It's actually a game.
Like being a kid again and playing make-believe, which it's a shame that we ever move away from those early childhood thoughts.
It's true. But listen, I want to thank you, Sally, so much. I want everyone to go to Amazon.com or erasenegativity.com, order Sally's book. Sally, I want to wish you a wonderful, wonderful, happy holiday. I want to thank you so much for being on my show. And I want to remind everyone to go to AskSpiritNow.com and get your past life regression and your relationship reading done before the end of the year. So have a wonderful, happy holiday, and thank you so much, Sally. Thank you so much for being on the show. And everyone, be in gratitude and remember to ask Spirit now. Good night. Happy holidays.